Welcome, everybody, to episode number 48 of That's a Freebie. This week, oh, by the way, hi, I'm Diggy. Good to see you. This week, we're going to be answering a question from a listener. We're going to be looking at a little bit of follow-up and a bit of a serious note for the week for what's gone on this week. I've got a great buzz off for you. I've got a really, really good pod tales for you. And this week's pick of the week is also great. Basically, I think you're getting the message now, right? Everything is great. And of course, I've got to answer the finale question from last week. I have, of course, got another one for you. So let's jump right in with an Ask a Freebie question. I always open with an Ask a Freebie question. And this week's question is from somebody who described themselves as not Tom Walker. So I don't know who that could be. They say, "Dear Freebie, I enjoyed the new Podtails a woohoo feature, particularly as DuckTales is my favourite TV theme tune. As the kids on Twitter would say, it lives in my head rent-free. If you have the time, I recommend Scott Bradley's Saturday Morning Slow Jams for excellent jazz covers of all your favourite cartoon theme songs. Anyway, this leads me to my question. What is your favourite kids theme tune of all time? I'm going to play it for you. Let's see if you can recognize it. Here is my favorite kids theme tune of all time.
One, two, three, four. Benny Bird, the last dinosaur. She's my friend and a whole lot more. Benny Bird, the last dinosaur. Shows me a world I never saw before. Everywhere we go, we don't really care if people stop and stare at our pal Dino. From prehistory through the rock and roll spotlight, we meet a friend who helps us make it through all right. That's Dino, the last dinosaur. He's my friend and a whole lot more. Dino,
for those of you that have never seen it, that was Denver the Last Dinosaur. You probably gathered that from the song, right? That is the theme tune that I always think of when people talk about classic children's cartoon theme tunes. I do, however, have a bonus one for you. This is quite possibly my favorite, absolute favorite cartoon from when I was a kid. And it is, it's very old now. They did 100 episodes of it. It was released on DVD as a special edition box set several years ago. And I pre-ordered it. It's one of the few things in my life that I pre-ordered. In fact, the only two things that I can recall pre-ordering are, well, other than my phone every year, I suppose, this box set and the original Xbox. Are you ready? Here we go. Do you know what it was? It was Batfink. Batfink. Have a look on YouTube. There are episodes of it on there. They're all really, really short as well. You'll probably see it and go, "Oh, that show." It was amazing. If you would like to ask a question to open up the show, you just go to thatsafreebie.com. And at the top of the page, there's a button that says "Ask a Freebie." And it just takes you to a form. You fill the form out and you can be like, "Not Tom Walker," and have your question read out on the show. But for now, play that theme tune.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
I have a follow-up for you this week. Just one quick follow-up. If you recall, in last week's episode, I was talking about my reaction lenses on my glasses. And I was saying that my previous ones that were not the brand reactions. You were able to run your glasses under cold water to get them to change color back to, well, not change color, I suppose, get to go transparent again. So I tried it with my reactions lenses. It doesn't work. It made no difference whatsoever. So don't bother trying. So let's jump into this week's news. I've got one main news story that I'm going to bring up today, and it is definitely something that has been playing on my mind over the last week or so, probably even longer, actually. I think I have actually briefly mentioned this in the past. As you all know, I have a daughter. She's 10 years old, and she recently has started wearing, or trying to wear, shorter and shorter skirts or dresses, mostly dresses. I don't know how to describe it. I think it's just she's mimicking what she's seen other people doing. So it does make it a little bit odd. And I'm turning into one of those fathers that is constantly saying, you're not going out dressed like that. It's hard because I don't want to control her because that where does that get you? She'll just do it out of rebellion at that point, won't she? And it's difficult saying to her, oh, look, you can't go out dressed like that, because why not? You know, if that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. But at the same time, she's 10 and doesn't really fully get why she's doing what she's doing. So culture is sort of geared around sexualizing women. That is something that I want her to understand isn't necessarily right, but it's not wrong. Like, obviously sexualizing women is not correct, but if a woman wants to be sexualized, this is really weird, then that's her choice. That's fine. With her consent, and with a male's consent as well, if they want to be sexualized in some way, it's fine. It's as long as the person involved wants to be in that situation and they're not being exploited. And trying to explain to a 10-year-old that is a little bit developmentally not quite a 10-year-old anyway, it's quite difficult. But then she also wants to mimic the things that she's seeing on TV and in media. And fortunately, she doesn't really get to see any social media. The only, I suppose, social media that she does see is like YouTube, but she mostly watches Minecraft videos and stuff like that. But even in them, you know, we do often watch with her just to see what she's watching and to make sure that it's age appropriate and all that kind of stuff. And she's quite good at, if she sees something that she doesn't want to be a part of, she's quite good at actually saying, no, just turn it off and move it on. But even some of the content on like these little Minecraft videos that she watches, it's often geared around boyfriends and girlfriends and another girl coming between the boy and the girl, and it almost makes women seem like the villains in a lot of the stories that she watches. So it's hard trying to find a nice balance of essentially trying to control what she does without being controlling, making sure that she understands that it's all about her choice in the future, really, on what she wants to do. Yeah, it's tough. If you've got any advice, I would happily take that advice. And on the flip side of that, you know, we've also got the boy, and he, as much as he's younger, he is definitely at an age where he is, I don't know, I suppose more aware of like the whole like boyfriend and girlfriend thing. As I mentioned last week, he's engaged now. He's obviously not really engaged. That was a joke. He was just given a ring. But yeah, it's a tough one. So yeah, if any parents out there have advice on how they think they would deal with it, then please feel free to send it my way, because I would love some great ideas. This week's buzz off is a straightforward one: spam calls. Hate them. Telemarketers and scam calls that consistently interrupt your day. Like, I hate them. I don't like to answer the phone to anybody. Who likes to answer the phone? I don't even like to answer the phone to people that I know. So I ain't going to answer it to a number that I don't know. And that wouldn't be too bad. I wouldn't even mind that happening, because if I do and it's just a spam call, I'm quite happy to just hang up or say, take me off your list, whatever. I know they won't take you off the list. It's not that simple. They're relentless. I must get every single day about 15 to 20 spam calls. Now, I have a filter set up that filters them out, but that does mean that it also filters out anybody that's trying to get in touch with me that isn't in my actual address book. So it does mean, and we do get lots of calls for like my daughter's ADHD assessments and things like that. So it's really annoying because you're often missing calls that are important. So yeah, spam calls can just buzz off. This week's Pod Tales, I'm going to tell you all about King Mansa Musa. Imagine a ruler so wealthy that his name becomes synonymous with unimaginable riches. A king whose pilgrimage to Mecca not only put his empire on the map, but also left a trail of gold that disrupted economies and dazzled the medieval world. This was Mansa Musa, who reigned from around 1312 to 1337. At the height of his power, Mansa Musa's Mali Empire spanned the vast expanse of West Africa, incorporating modern-day Guinea, Senegal, Mauritania, really hard to say, and Gambia, and of course Mali. Under his rule, the empire reached its zenith, flourishing in wealth, culture, and territorial expanse. But what truly set him apart was his legendary pilgrimage to Mecca in 1324, a journey that showcased the splendour of his kingdom to the wider world. Picture this, a caravan of 60,000 men, including 12,000 slaves, all clad in brocade and Persian silk, 80 camels, each bearing 50 to 300 pounds of gold dust. The spectacle of Mansa Musa's entourage travelled from Mali to Mecca was nothing short of extraordinary. As they crossed the deserts and cities, they distributed gold so generously that it caused a significant drop in the metal's value in regions like Cairo, shaking local economies. In Cairo, Musa's opulence stunned the local population. The Mamluk Sultan al-Nasir Muhammad was equally impressed, despite an initial awkwardness when Musa refused to bow to the Sultan, claiming his bow was reserved for God alone. The two rulers eventually exchanged gifts, and Musa's generosity left an indelible mark on the city. But Musa was more than just his wealth. He was a devout Muslim who saw Islam as a gateway to the cultured world of the Eastern Mediterranean. His pilgrimage was not merely an act of religious devotion. It was a statement of Mali's prosperity and Musa's ambition to integrate his empire with the broader Islamic world. Musa's return to Mali was marked by a period of intense construction. He brought back with him architects and scholars from Andalusia and Cairo, transforming Timbuktu and Gao into centres of learning and commerce. The famous Jingurabur Mosque in Timbuktu and the University of Sankore were among the many monumental structures commissioned during his reign, solidifying Timbuktu's reputation as an intellectual and cultural hub. The Mali Empire's wealth was rooted in its strategic control over trade routes, particularly those dealing with gold and salt. For centuries, regions like Bambouk and Wangara had been rich in gold, and under Musa's rule, the empire taxed and controlled these trades, amassing great reserves of wealth. The empire also traded in other goods, such as ivory, slaves, spices, silks, and ceramics. Although the full extent of these trades remains a mystery, much of what we know about Mansa Musa comes from the writings of Arab scholars like Al-Umari and Ibn Khaldun, as well as local manuscripts from Timbuktu. These sources paint a picture of a ruler whose reign was marked by both grandeur and complexity. Mansa Musa's influence extended beyond his death, leaving a legacy that continued to inspire awe and fascination. Let's talk about Mansa Musa's wealth. This is actually what put Mansa Musa on my radar, and the main reason I decided to research him. Modern estimates place his wealth in today's terms of around, wait for it, $400 billion. Now, to put this in perspective, compare it with other historical figures renowned for their riches. For instance, J.D. Rockefeller, the oil magnate, was often cited as the richest American ever, with an estimated net worth of about $340 billion in today's dollars. Even contemporary billionaires like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, with fortunes fluctuating around $150 to $200 billion, would have been dwarfed by Mansa Musa's wealth. His vast fortune came primarily from Mali's control over the gold and salt trade, which were the most valuable commodities of the era. Mali's strategic position in West Africa allowed Musa to amass and display his incredible wealth. Mansa Musa's wealth wasn't just in material riches, but also in the cultural and intellectual investments he made. He funded the construction of numerous educational institutions, mosques, and libraries, ensuring that his legacy would endure long after his death. Despite the glory of his reign, Mansa Musa's death in around 1337 marked the beginning of a period of succession struggles. His empire, while still powerful, would never again reach the heights it did under his rule. Musa's wealth and his pilgrimage remained legendary, serving as a testament to the grandeur of the Mali Empire and its most illustrious ruler. There you have it. The remarkable story of Mansa Musa, the king whose wealth and vision transformed his empire and left an indelible mark on history. If you love That's a Freebie and you want even more, you can now subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus. I have actually simplified things. I did used to have two tiers for That's a Freebie. I used to have Support B and Support B Plus. Now, it is just That's a Freebie Plus. I've got rid of the tiers. They were £3 and £5. I've got rid of the £5 one and the £4 one. The £3 one is now £4. So basically, there is just a £4 tier and you get everything. So all of the stuff that was in both tiers, you get. Because I think it's just a lot easier. To get it, all you do is you head over to thatsafreebie.com and you click Get Plus here. It's at the top of the page. You can join it. And what you actually get is you get access to the unpolished feed. And that's the raw, unedited recording of the show sent out immediately after it's recorded. So you can hear all the times that I mess up. And you get the pre-show and after show as well. More so this week, I've started pressing record the second I open up the computer to start the show. So you get the me setting up, you get me getting everything ready. Sometimes I might have little anecdotes that I'll share before the show starts just to get me into the groove of talking into a microphone. I do often go for a few practice runs of some of the content, or I make up content off the top of my head just to see if I'm in the right frame of mind or if I need a drink or whatever. All that kind of stuff is in the pre-show, and I'm sure sometimes there'll be an after-show section as well, things I might want to talk about that I didn't bring up in the main show but thought about in the main show. You also get access to any specials that I make early, and I'll be adding more as That's a Freebie Plus grows. I've got ideas for specials. I just need the time to record them, and I suppose the incentive to record them. That doesn't mean give me money and I'll record them. I will be recording them either way, and they'll be in That's a Freebie Plus before they're everywhere else. But having this podcast and a full-time job just means that sometimes I honestly can't be bothered getting the camera out, getting the microphone out and recording a special, because it's not something that I need to produce necessarily. You also get access to the Discord, so you can talk with me directly. Members will get access to all of that, plus the uncut feed. Like I said previously, you get access to everything. There are stories that don't make it into the main feed, usually because they're not family friendly. And what I'm going to start doing, a lot of the uncut stories are just stories that I do actually record in the main podcast and then cut them out because I decide, actually, no, that was not safe for work. Or what I might start doing is, if I do have any not safe for work stories, instead of just having them recorded separately, I'll actually just tell them in the unpolished feed, and you'll never even know if it was part of the main show or not. What you could probably consider is, if it was a little bit risque, it's not going to be in the main feed. So subscribing to the unpolished feed is the best way to get all of the content. I have made it simpler as well now. Once you've subscribed in Patreon, you get a link in there to add to your podcast client, and you'll just get notifications when the show goes live in the unpolished feed every single time. So it'll just be like subscribing to it normally. You could even unsubscribe from the main feed, the live feed, and just subscribe to the unpolished feed if you wanted to. And if you don't want to subscribe to Plus, that is fine. It's okay. I don't expect everybody to subscribe to Plus. It really is okay. But what you can do if you want to help the show is you can share it with as many people as possible, and you can leave a review in any podcast client that you can find. And you can also head over to YouTube as well, where you can find the show. If you just search for That's a Freebie Podcast in YouTube, you will find me. You can leave comments on the episodes. So yeah, if you don't want to subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus, that's okay. The pick of the week this week is the amazing Carrot Weather. You've probably all heard of this application. It really is quite possibly the most popular weather application. It doesn't tell you anything different than the default weather application tells you, because it can get its information from the same source. It can get it from different sources as well. That is one of the benefits of it. Some sources are more accurate in some countries. Some countries have their own weather service. Some countries share a weather service with other countries. All different ways of doing it. But you can choose your weather source. You can even, on one of their, I think it's on their Ultra plan, if you've got like weather testing equipment yourself, you can actually use an API to connect it to that. So a lot of people will have like air quality sensors that they'll stick on the outside of their house and things like that, especially if they're living in areas where you get like wildfires and things like that. And you can get it to actually look at that weather station that you've installed yourself. Just one of the many things it does. That, however, isn't why I use it. I use it purely because it also adds a little bit of fun to the weather. And I don't know why. We have this weird fascination with the weather, don't we? We can look outside the window and see what the weather is like. But we all tend to, or I say we all, I can't speak for everybody. I tend to like to know what the weather is going to be like upcoming for the week. I'm quite consistently checking it. When I'm ready for leaving work, a couple of hours before, I might check the weather and just see, is it going to be raining when I'm on my way home? I don't know why. Being prepared for that is better than walking out and seeing it chucking you down. That's how I tend to think of it anyway. Carrot Weather is great for that, but it also is great for a couple of other reasons as well. So it has this little secret missions thing. It'll give you a clue and you have to find the place on a map that it's talking about. It's really, really cool. The best part of Carrot Weather, and the thing that it's worth getting it for just because, it's the snark that it does. So you could adjust the level of snark. You can make it homicidal. You can make it have profanity in it. You can do whatever you want. And I have set it to its wildest setting. And I sometimes like to play with the political side of it as well. Just see what kind of jokes you get either way, because some of the jokes are amazing. For whatever political party you're affiliated with, they can be really, really good. I've currently got it set to apolitical. I've got it set to show profanity, and I've got it set to homicidal, I think it's called. I'm going to read you some of the examples out. The not safe for work examples, I will edit out, and they will only be in the unpolished feed. So if you're not hearing the profanity-ridden ones, that's because you're on the safe feed. You need to get the unpolished feed, yeah? Okay, here's some examples. So I've got Chuckles, you're in danger. But it's overcast. Are you happy now? These clouds foretell your death by boa constrictor. Precipitation happens when rain, snow, sleet, or cat pee falls from the clouds. Today was going to go so well for you, but all these clouds are just going to make you depressed and lonely instead. This is all Hillary Clinton's fault. Why does that cloud look like a stripper doing a pole dance? That sky, so cloudy right now. It's 50 shades of grey out. By the meat dress of Lady Gaga, it's smurfing overcast. These clouds look like a GoFundMe page to pay for a child's surgery bills. Oh, God. Nimbus stratus clouds are the ones that rain cats and dogs. In case you want to know which ones to blame for the deaths of those cute animals. Cumulus clouds portend friendly weather and will not bite if approached cautiously. The sun is playing hockey today. Break out the blindfolds and wrist restraints. It's 50 shades of grey out. These clouds overhead contain trace amounts of bat poop. That whale-sized cloud reminds me of your mother. By the glitter glove of Michael Jackson, it's overcast. These clouds foretell your death by firing squad. A supercell is a gigantic storm system that ravages the countryside with in-app purchase prompts to upgrade your town hall. Lenticular clouds form near mountains and look like flying saucers. The sky is overcast because you don't deserve nice things. And finally, Jesus, pumpkin carving Christ. It's Overcast. You should download it. Even if you just download it for a couple of weeks and give it a try, it's just hilarious. And when you add it to your Apple Watch, you get things like beep boop, it's smurfing Overcast on the screen of your Apple Watch. Now, do bear in mind if you set it to profanity, that profanity will show up on the screen of your Apple Watch. So if you're in a situation where people could be seeing your Apple Watch that you don't want to see that, you might need to turn the profanity off. I've not yet come up with a way of making it show different, but you cannot show the snark at all on the watch. But why would you want that? If you recall last week, I asked, have you ever skipped school? And do you think I skipped school? The answer was a resounding yes, you think I've skipped school. Well, the truth is, I didn't ever skip school. The closest I ever came to skipping school was, so I used to live a long way from the school, and I had a bus that would basically come and pick me up at my house and then drop me off. The reason I went to school so far away is it catered for some very specific needs that I had. So they would come and pick me up and take me there. While I was at that school, you sort of, in primary school, certainly, high school was different for me, but in primary school, I didn't really have like best friends. I had groups of friends, and I would sort of float between those groups of friends. Like sometimes I'd be friends with one group of people, and then sometimes I'd be friends with others. I mean, I was always friends with them, but it was who I was hanging out with. It wasn't until later in school I actually had like a best friend at school. And that's because the best friend that I have started at that school in like the last couple of years. So he just wasn't there for the entire time. But before that, there was someone, like a group that I was friends with, and they were the cool kids. They were like they were all the football team, basically, is probably what it was. They all made up the entire football team, and they were the kids that like they swore on the playground and things like that. And everybody was like, "Ooh, don't go near them; they're hard." But they were also considered cool, and I became friends with one of them. I can't even remember how it happened, really. I just sort of became more part of that circle for a temporary period of time. And I think this incident actually led up to the ending of that temporary period of time, if memory serves me right. One morning, I get off my bus. I'm walking up towards the school because it's, for some reason, it parked on the next street. No idea why it did that. Didn't actually take you to the school, took you close. So I'm walking towards it and I sees this lad. He was called Dale. I remember that. And he says, "You all right?" Like, "Yeah, we got talking and we'd like friendly more recently, like I've been joining in the football games and things like that." Terrible, probably why it didn't last. In fact, I even remember scoring an own goal once. And I also remember getting threatened by somebody else because he was so busy screaming and shouting at the fake referee, the person playing the goal of the referee, that I booted the goal in the net and it counted and I scored a goal, and he was not happy about this other lad. In fact, the other lad is the other person in this story. This is getting very confusing, isn't it? So Dale says to me, "Why don't we go and meet John Joe?" He was called. "Like, why don't we go and meet John Joe?" I was like, "Well, school starts in 10 minutes. And he's like, "Oh, he only lives 200 yards down the road. We'll go and knock on and then we'll walk back. I do it every morning. We'll definitely make it in time." Now, I was dubious. And also, I had no idea how far 200 yards were, which was hilarious. Not far, turns out. Not far. Just in case you don't know, not that far at all. So we walked past the school gate, and I could see the teacher watching us that's at the gate, because there was a teacher at the gate every morning. I could see her watching us. And we just casually walked past him. He thought nothing of it because it's what he does every day. They must have been looking at me thinking, "What are you doing with him?" And then we got to this John Joe's house and we knocked on the door. It took him an age to answer. Well, it felt like it took him an age to answer. I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, it's getting closer and closer to school time. Anyway, he eventually answered in his pajamas. And Dale's just like, "Yeah, you ready? You come in." And he's like, "Yeah, I just get dressed." And all credit to him, he got dressed quicker than I've ever seen anybody get dressed in all my life. He comes downstairs. We leave the house. By this point, there's like 3 minutes till school starts. And we could probably have made it. Like, I'll complete honesty, we could have made it on time. We would have been technically late because we wouldn't have been getting into the classroom till after the bell had gone, all that kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. But usually it takes him a couple of minutes to let you into the school anyway. So I thought, it's not actually as bad as I thought. He kept his word. And then they started walking in the opposite direction from the school. I was like, "Guys, you're going the wrong way." And they're like, "Oh, we're just going to nip to the shop. We want to grab some sweets." And again, the shop's not that far away. But bearing in mind, we had 3 minutes. So we weren't making it on time. And this was the crutch point. This was the point where I'm like, do I show them how not cool I am by saying, now I'm going to go back to school? Or do I solidify myself as one of the cool kids and go to the shop with them? So anyway, we're walking to the shop and John Joe looks at me and he goes, what's he doing here? And Dale goes, oh, it's all right. It's cool. Don't worry about it. And that was it, right? We went to the shop, bought some sweets, walked to school. It was literally it. It wasn't even that rebellious, right? We arrived back at school about 20 minutes late. So school started at 9 o'clock. It's 20 past nine at this point. So of course, we had to walk in the classroom in front of the whole class, in front of the teacher. Like, there was no hiding it. Anyway, door opens. We walked through the classroom door. I immediately felt unbelievably guilty, and I goes and sits in my seat, and the teacher, who was my favorite teacher at that school as well, I remember being an absolute nerd when I was at that school, and I had a favorite teacher, and I used to draw him pictures and everything. We'll talk about that another time, maybe. So I sit down, and he just looks at us, like silently just looks between us. We all sat on different sides of the classroom as well, so we had to really move his head. It was obvious what he was doing, and he just went, what time do you call this? John Joe and Dale went, sorry, sir. And I was silent because I never got in trouble. I didn't know what to say. And he just looked at me and he went, you, I'm disappointed in. You shouldn't be hanging around with these two. Clearly, they're a bad influence. And at first I was like, oh no, he said it in front of everybody. And then he just looked at John Joe and Dale and he went, and you two should know better. You especially, John Joe. You only live 200 yards away. And Dale went, yes! I knew it was only 200 yards. It's just like, that was really the end of it. Nothing much happened after that. But I really do feel like that, like, formed a core memory in my mind because I've never forgotten about it. It's one of those things that I still think about on a fairly regular basis. The glee in Dale's face of getting the unit of measurement right was probably the funniest part of that story, the thing that really sticks in my head about it. But also, as I was thinking about this, as I was trying to, like, make sure I got all the memories out for this section, I was thinking, actually, yeah, I do have this sort of weird thing where I do not like to be late for anything now. And like, I'm always, without a doubt, too early for everything. And it drives my wife insane. I'm the one stood at the front door with the front door open saying to the kids, okay, get in the car. The kids are sat in the back of the car and my wife's still getting all the stuff together. And we've probably got to be somewhere in 20 minutes and it's 40 minutes earlier. And she's like, we don't need to be there yet. And we get there earlier. We end up sat in the car in the car park. And I'm like, I'd rather this than be late. And I think this story, this thing that happened to me, is the reason for that. I'm stuck in I don't ever want the teacher to look at me again and go, I'm disappointed in you. I have another question for you for this week, and it ties into the previous one. The question is, were you a cool kid in high school? And if not, what clique would you say that you would put yourself in? Think back to the movie Mean Girls at the beginning where they introduce Katie to all the different cliques in school. And, you know, there's the cool kids, there's the theatre kids, there's the band kids, all that kind of stuff. Where would you have put yourself? Answers on a postcard to that. No, not answers on a postcard. Answers on either YouTube or the Patreon, wherever. You can find me as That's a Freebie or That's a Freebie Podcast on almost all social media. You could also find me individually as Hey It's Diggy on almost all social media. And until next time, thank you. See you then.